This week I had the privilege of fellowshipping with a pastor friend of mine, and we were out at a restaurant eating, and in the midst of him walking by a table, he ran across two ladies, and they were a part of his church back in an earlier part of his career in ministry, but they also had been a part of his father's ministry, and his father was a faithful shepherd for many years. And so they were in this interaction. You couldn't help but hear them talking a little bit, and when he got done, I asked the question. I said, "What was the point of their chat today? What were they trying to say to you?" And he looked at me and said, "It's one of the most beautiful and moving moments for me," because he said the daughter of the older lady looked at him and said, "You know, I have throughout my lifetime, every time I think about what Jesus looks like, I think of your dad." Well, he was completely mesmerized by that compliment. But more than that, it was a testimony to the faithfulness of someone who stayed with the course God had laid out for them and lived it out in its entirety. And today, as we think about that, I want you to think about what happens if you set the stage for faithfulness in your own life. What happens if all of a sudden you look inside of your own heart and life and say, "You know what? That's who I want to be. I want to be known as faithful. I want to be known as someone who has lived out my purpose. I want to be known as someone who's encountered God in a living and amazing way and heard him speak to my heart. I want to be known as someone who's lived for something more than myself. I want to be known as someone who has focused on Jesus and allowed him to be the author and finisher of my faith. Faithful is he who calls us. Faithful is he who will bring it to pass." And today, as you think about your own life, everyone here can think through people they've known who were faithful. And today we set the stage for faithfulness. And so our study during the first quarter of this year is in the book of Joshua. Now, when you get to that book, you realize that here's the story of a guy. And what I want you to get in mind is Joshua was following a great leader. Moses set the tone for everything inside of his life. And Joshua saw Moses as faithful. In fact, it's interesting what the scripture says, that Moses was the most humble man who ever lived on earth. And when you think about humility that he must have conveyed, think about this: strong as a leader, faithful in commitment, but also humble in how he approached everything he was facing. And so as you think about that, I want you to open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And I want you to see something that God says to Joshua that is by far and away to set the tone. It will set the tone for everything that he's responsible for. And so as you turn there, remember that the unfolding of God's plan for Joshua's life and for the people of God was centered in their commitment of whether they would stay faithful or whether they would make choices that would be less than God's best for life. So I want to ask you to think about today in your own life as we look at this text, be thinking about different aspects of faithfulness. Look, if you would, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Be strong and courageous. He's always with you. Think about that. The strength to live through whatever it is you're facing and the courage to trust him in the midst of it. And so I want to ask you a question as we get ready to dive into this study, because today we're going to look in Deuteronomy 31, because here's what I want you to see. Everything that Joshua was about to do, Moses helped prepare him, and the Lord helped prepare him, and we find that in the latter part of the book of Deuteronomy. And so, as you think about that, I want to ask you a simple question. Who is the most faithful person you know? I mean, think about it for a second. Who is somebody you know they are rock solid, they stay with it no matter what, they're committed to it, they live for it, you know it, it's a part of who they are, you know it's a part of what they're about, And you recognize that there's a rock-solid part of who they are. And what I want you to think about today is this. When we get faithful, we never waver, and we have a rock-solid faith in God. All right? So think about in your own mind somebody who stands out to you. Then you start thinking about different things about them. So now turn back in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right? Don't stay with me today, because I got to bounce you around just a little bit to set the tone for what we're looking at today. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 1. And as you're turning there, obviously, the writings that you find where Paul speaks to Timothy, He's giving him the baseline of how to be a faithful man and a faithful servant. Now imagine this. Here is Timothy, timid, introverted, reserved, shy, overwhelmed by crowds, no doubt had a challenge of being able to interact with people. And who's Paul? He talked to anybody at any time in any way to convey to them truth. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, look if you would at verse 12, because I want you to see something that stands out regarding how Paul saw himself. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, watch this, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Now, when you look at the word service there, it is the idea of a humble task, doing something that's centered in humility. So here's what Paul said. He counted me faithful, even though I had made a lot of mistakes. And by the way, no matter what mistakes you've made in life, no matter what choices you've made, what happens when God lines up your purpose and puts you into a pathway of faithfulness, he will also consider you and put you into service as well. And so he makes this powerful statement. He thanked God for what it is God had done, but he also recognized that God had strengthened him. So can you be faithful without strength? It's impossible, because if you get weak, you fall. And so he said he gave me strength, and out of that strength, he considered me faithful, and he put me into service. And what I want you to think about today is, what is the humble thing you and I can do that will make the biggest difference in our world? What is the humble thing that you and I can convey to someone who is looking for an answer to help them find their way? You see, the truth is, let me tell you what people are looking for more than anything else, people who are faithful. Faithful. Because, listen, it's counterintuitive, cultural. In other words, our culture doesn't zero in and focus on faithfulness much anymore. Our culture focuses on convenience. How quick can you get something? How fast can you consume it? And so as you think about your own life, think about the faithful person or the people that God has put in your life, those who have come your way. And I'm thankful to have shared life with several people who have been very, very, very faithful. And I thank God for the faithfulness that I've seen in their life. But I want to ask you a second question. Ed, when you think about characteristics, what are the characteristics of people that you know, that you notice in faithful people? And I was thinking about that in light of our preparation for today, and I actually started thinking about the different qualities I have seen in those who are faithful. Grace is a part of every faithful person I know. They extend grace and love in an amazing way. I also have seen humility, and humility is a quality that opens someone up to encounter God in amazing ways, because you humble yourself and then he exalts you. You humble yourself, then he uses you. I've also seen integrity and character. I've seen motivation and vision and a heart that beats for something more than themselves. And so you think about those who are part of your life. And by the way, there's no doubt probably in this room, every person sitting here is a product of somebody who was faithful before you. Someone who chose to live out their faith, someone who stood for something and they died in believing it. They didn't let go of it. They held on to it. And so you can imagine Moses is about to die, okay? Moses' story is about to end, and he knows that if he's going to accomplish everything he's supposed to do, that one of his great challenges was also to put in motion Joshua being effective. Because watch this, when you are faithful, you're effective. When you are unfaithful, you're ineffective. All right, so here's what you discover. We're 6 days into a spiritual journey for us, this new year of 2019. And I want you to imagine for a second, do the math with me. The average person, by the time they get to the 12th day of any new year, has already given up on everything they set out to do. Every goal, everything that they have going on. And my son, who was playing the drums, he had to go to work right after this. And it's interesting because Sundays have become such a big, giant day in retail. But he had to leave. And so he's been during the Christmas season. I said, man, I guess you're selling. He sells an exercise bike and some other stuff. And I said, I guess your sales were, you know, really something else. He said, no, our sales really start on January 1 when people realize what happened to him through Christmas. And they get on the scale, and they have a moment of truth, all right? And he said, we're going to sell more bikes than you can imagine. And I told him, well, we better sell them before January 12th, because by then everybody's back to eating the buffet. It's over. They've lost that motivation. And so, but as he was sharing with me, I thought, you know, it's one thing to be faithful in a moment. It's another thing to be faithful in a lifetime. And when I think about what will allow One Heart Church to accomplish everything that God intends is that we as His people would choose to be faithful no matter what. No matter what that we face, no matter what that we encounter. And so as you think about that, look if you would at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now we're going to be in chapter 31 primarily, but I want you to look at chapter 30 and verse, the latter part of, in fact, we'll just read the entire verse, verse 19, and then I want you to see verse 20, okay? Because you may want to redline this like I do, because when you get to verse 20, there's a red dot circling that verse for me. Look if you would, verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, watch this, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now look at that one more time. I mean, think about faithfulness in light of this. You have the opportunity to love the Lord by obeying His voice, holding fast to Him, and recognizing that your life and length of days is all linked to your faithfulness. So here's what you discover. As you and I set out in motion through this new year, we have the opportunity to be faithful to God, faithful in every way. And by the way, faithful in private first before you could ever be used in public. Faithful in pursuit of Him. Faithful in asking Him to touch your life and speak to your heart. Faithful to encounter Him in new and living ways. Faithful to experience Him the same way Joshua did, because Joshua got to encounter God in the most amazing way, from going up the mountain with Moses halfway to and staying on the mountain to encountering God in these different moments, to being a spy who went and looked and saw the land and said, hey, we can do it. And you imagine Joshua and Caleb versus the other 10? Two faithful men who said, yes, we can. And 10 who said, there are giants in the land, we can never do it. And listen carefully. We live in a day where people want to put giants all around us. There is no giant, there's no issue that can get in the way of God's plan for your life. He is faithful. He will bring it to pass. He will call you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. So, as we dig into this text, one of the things we begin to discover is that, if you think about it for a moment, God saw something in Joshua. God saw something in Joshua, and the characteristics that He saw made Him recognize that this man would be faithful and accomplish God's purpose. So here's my question. If that's what God saw in him, what will He see in us? What will He see in each one of our lives? Will He see faithfulness? Will He see us encouraged in the Spirit? Will He see us walking by faith? Will He see us on fire for accomplishing God's purpose? And my prayer is, as we go into this new year, that no matter what comes at us, that we will recognize and acknowledge that He is faithful, and we are committing our hearts to be faithful as well. And by the way, it's not defined by our life stage or our age. It's defined by our heart. Because what God saw in Joshua was a heart to accomplish what only He could do. And so my encouragement today, as you think about your own life, what happens if He begins to work in your life in a powerful and new way? So Joshua had three very distinctive qualities. Three of those I'm going to point out to you. Then I want to show you the three key life lessons that come out of Deuteronomy 31. Because in Deuteronomy 31, it's a place where all of a sudden God opens the hearts of Joshua to say, you know what? This is how you need to live. This is what you need to know. Because you got some people who are at some point are not going to do what they're supposed to do. You'll see that in a moment. We're looking at that 31st chapter. But I want you to think about, as it relates to what's happening with Joshua's life. He had three very distinctive, unique qualities that made him such a great leader and made him as a man who was faithful. First of all, he had the courage to confront. He had the courage to say, I'm going to confront this issue. I want to ask you, think about it a second. Do you realize how much courage it takes to look inside your own heart and say, wait a minute, that's not right. I need to fix that. I need to deal with this. He had the courage to confront what was going on inside of his own heart, because what happened? Think about this. When Moses goes out, the one guy he's looked up to all of his life is gone. I had a man like that in my life for many years. His name was Bill Bryan, and he was a faithful man. Faithful throughout all the years I'd ever known him. And when I think about courageous, willingness to, willing to go after, no matter what it is he's facing. He was willing to do that. And I watched it even in his battle with cancer before it took his life. And I'll never forget, because when we came to close to the end of his life, he called me in one day and called me to his hospital room, actually, and said, "Now make sure you know something. When I'm gone, you make sure you do the service. Say some nice things about me." And I was sitting there thinking, I could talk for hours and never cover all the qualities of this faithful man. But I want to ask you, if I ask you to be courageous enough to confront the one thing it could cost you the most, by that I mean, what is there something, in your life that could cost you everything? All you got to do is be willing to confront it. Say, "Lord, I'm going to deal with it." During this series, I'm going to show you how God places in the heart of Joshua to the people a message that would allow them to experience God's very best, but it demands their courage to confront the issues of life. And one of the things you discover is, if you look at Deuteronomy 29:29, if you look back just in one chapter from where we've been, you'll see that the word declares this: there are some things the Lord chooses to reveal to us, some things are secret things. And here's what I want you to get in mind. Just because there's some secret things you don't understand does not allow you the license to lose your focus on faithfulness. It instead empowers you to stay faithful as you live through things, because watch this, there's not a thing in your life that ever times out like you'd like it to. There's not a thing in your life that would cause you to go, "You know, I really like that trial. I'm glad it's going a little bit longer." No, that's not how we live. We want to be done with those trials. But Joshua had the courage to confront. The second thing is, he had a commitment to obey. I mean, he realized, "You know what, I'm going to obey God no matter what. I'm going to do what it is he's called me to do." And it's interesting, because if you read the book of Judges, you realize as long as Joshua's alive, this faithful man, they move forward in dramatic fashion. Very few setbacks. The only place they ever really have a dramatic setback is Ai, and you'll see that in a few weeks from now, because when they begin to get their eyes, watch this, on themselves instead of God, it costs them dearly. All right, so what you discover about faithful people is they keep their eyes on the Lord. A third and final quality, and I want to show you what happened in Deuteronomy 31, so have your Bible open to that text, is this: there is inside of Joshua, which should be inside of us, a confidence to come before God. A confidence to know that he can seek the Lord. Why do you think that the same theme is echoed over and over again to Joshua's life? Be courageous. Why? Because he knew that the more courageous you are, the more confident you are. And so I want to encourage you, you may be facing something you don't realize, you know what? There is an answer to that. Just confidently surrender yourself to his plan and to his purpose, and watch what he does with that. So we get to chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. Look at it with me if you would, because I'm going to show you, what I want to show you is some mandatory instructions for faithfulness, all right? Three very clear mandatory instructions. Look if you would, beginning in verse 1, Deuteronomy 31. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. All right, very good. So Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel, and he said to them, "I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross this Jordan.' It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did in Sihon and Og, to the kings of the Amorites and their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them before you, and you shall do it to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong," watch this, here it is again, "be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He shall not fail you or forsake you." Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give to them an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you." Watch this. "He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, "At the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing." assemble the people, the men, the women, the children, the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of the law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. But then notice what he does in verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourself at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of this land, into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, for so that they will say it in that day, 'Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come our way or come upon us?' But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. Now, therefore, write this song for yourself. Teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it on their lips so that the song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing of milk and honey, which I swore to their father, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. Then it shall come about, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify before them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants. For I know their intent, which they are developing today, before I have brought them into the land which I swore." So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. I want you to imagine for a moment that Joshua gets called in. I mean, let me ask you this. Think about this for a second. Joshua gets a text message from heaven that says, "Meet me at the tent." Well, you can imagine the first thought is, this is going to be a big meeting. So he and Moses go to this meeting. And you know what you discover? Through the first 13 verses, you go, wow, this is fantastic. This is the day I've always longed for. I get to be the leader and I get to move forward. No, no, no. I guarantee you, Joshua's thinking, oh man, my guy's gone that I've looked up to all these years. What a faithful servant of God. But then when you get to verse 14, where all of a sudden the Lord says, these people are about to do exactly what they should not do. They're about to play the heart. In other words, they're about to compromise. Watch this. They're about to compromise the very conviction that I have guided them to over all these years in the wilderness so that they would experience life the way I intended. And so you read this and you go, well, what a mandatory instruction for Joshua to hear. Because what does God say? Write a song so they never forget it. Write a song so those who are faithful will sing it. I don't know if you're like me, but I have certain songs. They get in my head and they stay there. I mean, they stay with me, and I'm not musical, but I can hear a song and go, wow, that is with me for days and days and days, and I'll be singing. In fact, my family gets tired because I'll sing some song often, and because some songs just have a way to connect. And here's what God says to Joshua. Make sure they keep singing that song, because when it comes to the end of the story, they're going to need that song. They're going to need those words to speak to their heart and life. So three very distinctive things I want you to see over the next few minutes that will help you understand mandatory instruction that are key to our lives, all right? Key to our faithfulness, key to our future, all right? The first thing I want you to see is found in the six verses, all right, of Deuteronomy 31. I mean, and it's primarily rooted in verse 6, all right? So look at verse 6, if you would, with me for just a moment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Now, when you read that, you realize that in verse 8, he re-echoes it again by saying, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. What is he trying to get across to you and me? That we must let, watch this, wisdom rule over our emotions. Because if we get afraid, what happens? It's hard for us to step out. It's hard for us to take that journey. It's hard for us to commit to something. If we get afraid, we end up missing out on what it is that God intends to do through each one of us. And so what happens to it? Wisdom says, be faithful and watch God work. What does emotion say? Oh, man, I don't want to line up with that. That could cost me more than I want to pay. That could be more challenging than I want it to be. And so I want you to think about this. As you go into this new year, what if every situation that you encounter, before you get afraid or before you get dismayed by what you're facing, you just stop and you begin to recognize that He's in charge. You can trust Him. You can have the wisdom to trust Him. I was driving down 85 yesterday and I looked up something I've never seen before. Someone had gotten in their car sometime on Friday night and had determined that they were going to check some things under the hood, but they didn't close their hood completely. And so as I was driving by, I saw this car, and the hood was, they had caught so much wind that the hood had fallen backward, had sprung across the top of their car and blinded them completely. Well, I was looking at that and I was thinking, first of all, they didn't exercise the wisdom to check to make sure it was closed. You and I need to exercise the wisdom to make sure and check that our faith is in check. But also, can you imagine how blinded they were when all of a sudden that hood came up and whoom? I mean, all of a sudden they could see nothing. And before they could see everything, what faithfulness does, it helps us see everything. Fear allows us to see nothing. And so when you think about that, what is he trying to get across? First of all, God's always with you. You don't have to worry about this. He's with you no matter what, no matter the circumstance you're in, no matter the situation you're in. He's with you. Let him be with you to guide you and to guide every step of your journey. He's with you. Not only that, and I want you to get this in your mind because this is key to being faithful. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He never leaves us. I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful about that. And I can remember when I was having my surgery earlier this last year, I can remember the one thing I wanted there was Cindy. Because not only is she faithful, but she knows what she's talking about when it comes to some of the medical stuff and all. And so they would come in, they'd say a bunch of stuff. As soon as they would leave, I'd say, what'd they just say? Not just because of my hearing, but also because I was like, they use words I don't understand. And she would tell me in simple terms, this is what they're conveying to you right now. And I'm going to tell you, what one of the most comforting thoughts for me during that time was that somebody was standing there who was with me no matter what, who would never leave, never forsake. Listen, there's someone more powerful than Cindy, and that's the God of heaven who stays with us no matter what. And so I want to ask you to think about, by way of mandatory instruction, to set in motion our entire study. You got to be wise enough. You got to be wise enough to let wisdom rule over any emotion that might get in your way. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And don't doubt what God can do. He can do anything. Listen, if you're here today and you get in the middle of a circumstance that's not answered yet, don't doubt what He can do. Trust Him in the midst of what He will do. Because it's easy for us to doubt things when we're in the middle of it because like, I'm not sure that can happen. This could happen. And it was interesting. I was watching. I had a deja vu moment during our worship time as I was watching my son play the drum. And on this Wednesday will be the 12th anniversary of sobriety for him. 12 years of living without the very addiction that destroyed and took apart parts of our family, part of his life, almost cost him his entire life. I mean, I think about this Wednesday, 12 years. And we have people in here that have been longer journeys of faithfulness in the midst of that, saying, I choose to live a different way. What I want you to say is this, say to you is this. If he let his emotions rule, what would have happened? Several times he would have said, you know, I want to drink, or I want this, or I want that. And the truth is, thank God in heaven who reached down and touched his heart in such a way that changed his life forever. And the 60 people he went through with rehab, only two are sober today. And I think about how I thank God he's one of those. But if he trusts his emotions, he would have faltered every time. Second thing I want you to see, look at verse 7 if you would. In verses 7 through 13, very quickly, notice what he says. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of the Lord, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with his people in the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give to them, give this to them as an inheritance. What is he saying here? Follow, watch this, mandatory. Follow instructions carefully. I'm one of those people who struggles with reading the instructions. When it comes to anything that I get, I just want to plug it up, turn it on, and make it work. And I'm the kind of person that gives James Finn a job, because James hooks up all these fancy sound systems and all this kind of stuff in your house. Now, why does he do that? Because people like me plug things in, and they don't work, and then they have to call James, hey, would you mind fixing this thing? The same kind of thing with some of the stuff around the church here sometimes. Hey, James, you help us figure out how to plug this thing in, because we don't always understand the complexity of how to make all that work. So here's what happened. All of a sudden, Moses makes sure Joshua knows something. You got to plug in to courage. You got to plug in to strength. You got to follow these instructions carefully. And a couple of things he got across here. First of all, he goes before you. So in other words, he's already there before you. So if I were wise when I bought something that's electronic or something, I would call someone like James and say, hey, would you mind coming setting all this up? Which I'm sure he does that too. Some people don't plug it in. They just wait for someone else to do it. Here's what you want to see. If he goes before you, you win no matter what, because he's with you. He's watching over you. He not only goes before you, but they're going to be brought to a river, okay? And they're going to be brought to a river to stay on one side for a moment and then go across the other side for a lifetime, okay? And so here's what I want you to get in mind. Be careful to stay on the right side of the river. Because watch this. Faithful people go across and stay across. Those who are choosing to live on their emotions or live on their circumstances or live without conviction, they'll come across the river the other way. So be wise to realize you got to stay the course. Mandatory. First of all, don't let wisdom rule over emotions. Secondly, be wise enough to focus your own heart and life in what it is that God's given you by way of instruction. Third thing, and we're finished, okay? Because I want you to get this in your mind. When you get to verse 14, what you hear so clearly is this. Recognize your responsibilities. Because God says there are going to be people who walk away. I mean, you should be a pastor and watch someone walk away. It's a hard course. It's a hard path. And because what happens? They let their emotions get in the way, or they get some circumstance in the way, or they make a willful choice to do the wrong thing, and in their disobedience, they miss God's best. And so what do we see? We see that he has a plan centered in obedience. Because in verse 14, he makes it very clear that there's going to be a time come when he calls them together. There's going to be this time come when all, in verse 16, excuse me, where the people are going to do what they want to do. And by the way, we live in the most strange God time in the history of our nation. I mean, it is bizarre to me how we have allowed so many things to get ahead of who he is. And I'm going to tell you what God intends for it. He wants us to have a plan that's centered in obedience. And as we live that out, we get to watch him work. Second thing you want to see is this. Not only is it plan centered in obedience, but the price of rebellion. When you see this, he begins to tell me what's going to happen. It's incalculable. You can't calculate what rebellion does. And here's what I want you to get in mind. Our rebellion doesn't have to be some big giant war out there that everybody sees. Our rebellion can be as easy as waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, not today. I'll do it on my terms instead of God's terms. And when you rebel, you miss the very thing that God has for you. What does he say here? Write this song so they'll sing it, so they don't forget it, because they need to hang on to it all the time. And my same pastor friend that I was telling you about that heard a great testimony about his dad, he was in the hospital to see one of his older members, and the man can no longer speak. He's lost his capacity to speak, but he can sing. So every time he comes in, he sings Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And so my pastor friend walked into his hospital room this week, and the guy said, okay, he didn't say it, but he said, he wrote, you sing. So he sang Amazing Grace. And it's interesting because at his funeral in the days to come, what song were they singing? Amazing Grace, because it's been the story of this man's life. Finally, let me just say this to you. You think about what it is God has for you. Always follow the leads that God's given you. I mean, if he gives you something to do, something to accomplish, somewhere to go, you take that step. And here's my simple question for you this. Will you journey to faithfulness throughout this year? Not just today, not next Sunday, not will you journey to faithfulness? And one of the things I admire about our fellowship are the people who faithfully pray, the people who faithfully are involved in small groups, the people who are faithfully committed to helping our parking lots and our security and all the other things, that are faithfully singing every Sunday, faithfully playing. You know, if everyone who's in the praise team and everyone who played an instrument said, you know, I'm not going to come, but once, when I feel like it, well, who would be leading worship? It would be Chester, because he has to, but there wouldn't be anybody else, because everybody else said, my schedule doesn't fit that. Listen, your schedule fits your obedience. If you obey him, you will be submitted to him, and you'll commit yourself to serve him. My challenge to you is, journey with his faithfulness. And we're about to sing a song that will remind you that your trust can only be in him. But my encouragement today, if you're here, and let's just say it's the first Sunday of the new year, you'd like to become part of our family, you'd like to know what it means to know Jesus, you'd like to know what it means to become a part of One Heart, we invite you to come and celebrate that by walking down the aisle. And what reason we do that? We open the invitation up because we want you to experience what it means to be affirmed by this entire family that you made a wise and right choice. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for the way your word speaks to our hearts and lives. Thank you for the challenge of what faithfulness is all about. Thank you for your commitment to guide us and to watch over us. I pray you bless as we respond to you. There's someone here who's never met you. May they take that step. If someone here needs to be baptized, may they realize this is the time to take that step. There's someone here who needs to join our fellowship. In this room are those who, if they commit themselves to faithfulness, will become a part of who we are. So, Lord, I pray you speak to their hearts and lives as well. Bless us because we trust in you. Speak to our hearts and lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.